Welcome back to campaign number two. This is the Curse of Strahd. I'm your DM, Mike, and our group finds themselves right now in the town of Vallaki. They have just completed dinner with Baron Vargas, and Irina had a private conversation with the Baron. Jeremy took Zav to his room, which was full of creepy little dolls that looked just like him. The party returned to the Blue Water Inn, and Irina went to her quarters for the evening. She looked deep in thought and very concerned. That was kind of the vibe you got from her. Like, she was unsettled after that meeting. The party accepted an invitation to go to the Watcher House in order to meet Lady Fiona. Fiona asked our heroes for protection during the Festival of the Blazing Sun, where she hopes to persuade the town to vote on a leader rather than it just being a birthright. Aspion was fairly quick to agree to help Fiona, but the rest of the party kind of deferred to Del's decision on where they should land. Because of that, it seems like we kind of were left in limbo there with no real answer from most of the party. Aspion and Ajira go back to the inn, and the remaining party members go to the church. Aspion finds a note in his room, which we'll get back to a little later, and Ajira takes time to communicate with Strahd. At the church, they speak to Father Lucian about, you know, who could lead the town, where the bones could be. Father Lucian notes that they're, or that the church can bring light back to the town. He tells the party not to trust Vargas nor Fiona. Gaius then assesses that the bones could be in the coffin shop. So now, before we jump right in, just because it's been a minute since we've kind of all done this, to kind of get settled, you know, where we are. Today is going to be the day of the festival. We're going to kind of wake up on that day. Some items the party might want to think about is returning the bones in order to reconsecrate the church, picking a political party to lead the city, speaking to Irina about maybe the marriage rumors, or speaking to Jeremy about the torture rumors. But that's
how many
kind
days
of...
after this, like, does the festival happen the next day, or are we skipping like 4 days?
Kind of. It's like you guys went to bed that night. Everybody kind of, you know, went to bed, and then now you're waking up, and it's okay. The day of the festival. So
okay.
Keep in mind, this festival is not special in any way. To remind you guys, Vallaki does this all the damn time. It's like weekly or biweekly, they are throwing a festival, and they always have different names, and it's always this big deal that the town makes of it. The people are tired of the festival, so just remembering that little bit of backstory. There are flyers all over the place for old festivals, and right now we're landing on the Festival of the Blazing Sun. So to kick us off, you wake up to a newsie. Oops, hitting buttons here. You wake up to a newsie yelling in the middle of the open-air tavern. Remember the tavern, I could probably show you a nice image of that, but the tavern is kind of like a weird layout where there's almost like this middle open atrium area, and right in the middle is where this like newsie is, you know, popping off about the festival. Festival of the Blazing Sun starts in 1 hour. Enjoy food, fun, and remember to smile. Everyone in Vallaki must participate by law. So you all kind of wake up to this like alarm clock of a man. Go to kind of wake up and start your day. Aspion, I'm actually going to start with you because you couldn't sleep so well last night. You were thinking about this note. Trust no one. Something about it just didn't sit right. It didn't settle with you. I'm going to have you go ahead and make me a investigation check, or you could do wisdom. It's up to you. Either one.
I will do...
nothing of the sort. Sorry. Okay. Something's bothering you about the note. You don't know what it is, though. It's bothering you. It's something that's going to stay on your mind for a while. So tell me about kind of the morning routine. Where are we going? What are we doing right now?
Because I'm waking up in the same room as Irina. How is she looking? How's she doing?
She wakes up. Tabitha's not there. It's the first time in a few days. And she just kind of sighs deeply and then starts to kind of get dressed.
Okay. Well, you doing okay? You looked deep in thought last night.
It's been a long night. It's been a long week.
Okay, well, I'm here to talk if you need. Usually helps if you have like another person you can talk stuff out to. Maybe big decisions coming in or something like that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Then I'll just let her keep on.
Her hair up, so it's hidden, kind of gets ready for the day, fits her sword on, and starts to kind of walk out of the room.
Cool.
I'm going to look for Jeremy.
Cool. We'll come back to that. Is there anything, because okay. He's kind of the next step. Is there anything anybody else's?
Yes. I'm going to go to Dell and have a quick powwow with him, because Gaius had a thought right before, like in character, had a thought before he went to bed that night, and then he's been deliberating on something. I think that's a word for it. So am I in the same room as Dell, or
you are? Yes,
sweet.
Dell and Aspion are in there. So
I'm just okay. Gonna sit tight with.
Yeah, and our you. Oh sweet, yeah, our memory of yesterday, we found out that. Irene had agreed to marry the Baron's son.
It was more of a rumor that was presented to you.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, but it was a rumor that was presented to us, though. Like, we,
yeah, you have that knowledge.
Yeah, all right.
The knowledge.
I'm going to talk. Like, Dell, I've changed my mind on something. I think you should hear why.
Okay.
Yesterday, I said I didn't have a solid choice as to who we should back when it came to potentially coming to blows between these two factions. I still don't think I really have a good answer for that specific question, but I do know one thing. We can't back the Baron and go along with his plan, just in case the rumor was true. If
in case the rumor that
yes, that he's marrying his son to Irene, or that Irene has agreed to this.
Why? Why?
It bothered me, and I couldn't think of why it bothered me so much, and then I realized it's because I know Strahd somewhat well at this point. Our entire group safety hinges on the fact that we keep her existence a secret, or at least to the extent that we can. Maybe Strahd has an idea that she's here. But if we confirm that she's here and that we are letting her marry another man, Strahd will just kill us all. Probably everyone in this town.
Based on the memories that we saw, I think that's very astute. I think you're probably right. If she were to marry someone else, I don't doubt that Strahd will do what he did at his own brother's wedding.
If we want to avoid that, we have to get to Irene and stop her, if this is true.
I'm happy to back you on this. But it will be her decision. Betrothals for power are nothing new, and certainly nothing that I would fight against. It is her choice.
You wouldn't fight for the life of everyone here?
I can't force her not to marry. Just as I wouldn't force her to marry.
Her body, her choice.
If you were her going body, to...
Her choice. Dell is woke as fuck.
If you were... Dell, can I run something by you? If you ever thought of dying in battle, like, would you give your life to save some child?
Without thought.
Have you thought about what would happen to all the rest of the children that you would have saved if you didn't do that?
No. I make the choices that are presented to me. I can't think about, I don't know what the future holds, so I make the choices that are in front of me in the moment.
In this place, the future undoubtedly holds more death. If we can avoid Irene marrying this boy, even if it comes necessary to force her in some way, not kidnap her, but I'm sure she would realize our side of it, you would certainly trade that for the life of everyone in this town, every child that you've seen, knowing that they would die otherwise. Right?
Forcing her against her will?
Yes.
Would be an act of evil.
More evil.
One that I will not condone. I on the wisdom of the action that I believe. But I will not force her.
Dale, I feel you're virtuous in a way that this place does not forgive. I'm going to gather all my gear together as I'm saying that. I'm going to look at Aspion. You with us?
I'm thinking about the note and if I should paradoxically bring it up, but then trust no one, I'm not sure.
Do you want to make an intelligence roll just to see if you should talk about the note?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yes, then.
You get a feeling that maybe for now, this was left on your bed for a reason. Like it was left for you that maybe for right now, just for right now, that one should stay close to the chest. Not that you can't trust these guys, but that maybe there's something more at play or something to uncover.
Okay. With that, I take a deep breath. It's like, yeah, I think I'm with you, but I don't think it's for us to decide who gets married.
There's a place outside of here that I think Irene could potentially be safe.
We can certainly see if she wants to go.
Be ready for a fight.
Always in.
Cool.
That so I'm going to gather up all my shit. Yep.
Cool. We'll cut back over to Zav, who was saying that he wanted to look for Jeremy. Zav, as you open the door, you're leaving your room, and again, kind of this open air concept, you can see down into the tavern floor, that main floor there. You see Jeremy walk in.
I quickly make my way downstairs. I don't call out or anything.
As you start to make your way downstairs, right behind him, you see two other guardsmen.
As soon as I start to see them, I stop in my tracks. And I kind of wait up and then continue slower down the stairs, more cautious, trying not to make eye contact or let Jeremy know that I'm coming down. Am I visible? Like, is the staircase wide open, or is it kind of off to the side?
It's pretty wide open. Okay. He'd be able to see you. So kind of with your excitement and then your slow down, it's enough to kind of draw his eye. He sees you and he goes, he kind of puts his hand on his sword and says, Zav, can you gather the party? I need to talk to you for a moment. Zav, one of the things that kind of stands out to you is that I lost where I was on my notes, so I'm going to pull that up.
That does stand out to me.
Yeah, it's freaking crazy, dude. So sorry.
She's so fluid all the way through.
Oh, good delivery.
So yeah, sorry. One of the things that stands out to you is as Jeremy walks in, he's got these two guards with him. you had that newsy kid that was being obnoxious in the middle of the tavern. As soon as they walk in, he bolts. He's like, I'm fucking out of here. But nobody's in the tavern. This is really the first time you've seen it. At the very least, you would see Irwin or his wife. He's the innkeeper. His wife, maybe his kid, something like that. Like something would stand out to you. There would be some showing of life. But as you come downstairs, really all that you see is that quiet, strange man that was in the corner from before with a cane. I believe Gaius spoke with him for just a moment a few nights ago when you guys were all kind of celebrating. But that's it. And then it's just Jeremy and the guards. And he's far enough away that he's kind of minding his own business. And he's just got a drink in front of him. So as you approach Jeremy, he asks, say again.
This is a morning, right?
Yeah, maybe not like an ale drink, probably like breakfast drink. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, yeah. It's not wine. But he asked you to go collect the guys. Irina, she was getting ready to walk out, so she sees Jeremy and the guards as well, and mentions to you, Ajira, Jeremy's here, and there's company.
How does Jeremy look? Does he look like well rested? Obviously, sounds a little
something's
not exactly
wrong.
Delighted, but
yeah, something's wrong. You can tell by his voice. He's not trying to hide it. He's in here with two guards. He placed his hand on his hilt, which is almost like a defensive action towards you, and asks you to collect the party and come downstairs. Like, something's wrong. You know that.
Okay. I turned him. Oh, Jeremy, you're here. Give us a couple minutes. I know that Jira's a little to kind of wake Aspion. You don't want to really mess up Aspion's morning routine. Just give us a couple minutes and we'll be right back. And I kind of awkwardly shuffle back up the stairs.
Okay. Go ahead.
And Gaia, Stell, and Aspion are all in the same room, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, Irina and Ajira, they're really right next door to you guys. So. Okay. Yeah, and Irina, so, you already saw her pop her head out.
Yeah, I tap on the door and kind of let myself in. So, Jeremy's back. And I thought, you know, after all the stuff we've learned about him in the last day or so, sit down and have a chat with him and talk, but he doesn't seem to have his friends, their other guards. It doesn't seem like a great situation, but he's asked me to come fetch you all. So I just want to go to the downstairs with do you let's go downstairs.
Are we?
I pat you on the back and go, it's okay. 5-on-3 is gonna be easy. And then I just walk out the door.
Are we going to fight?
I'm just trying to lighten the mood. No, Oh, I thought you were like saying it better.
I'm hoping we don't. Ideally, I would like to just talk to Jeremy. In with some hired muscle behind him, real rent-a-guard kind of folk.
If we are to fight Jeremy, would you fight with us?
That Jeremy is different than the Jeremy that left me. I will defend myself if I need to, but I would rather talk things out with him. Get to the Jeremy I know.
That is
in the middle of this, Gaius is going to walk up and place a hand on Zav's shoulder, and I'm going to say, it probably won't come to that. I'm going to look over at Del and say, they probably want to speak to us about where we went yesterday. They wanted to kill us. They would have done it in our sleep. And then I'm going to make my way towards the stairs.
Thanks, Gaius. That makes me feel so much better.
Does everybody walk downstairs or head down?
Yeah, so going down the stairs. I'm going to look at Jeremy and be like, Jeremy, hello there. Why are we so defensive this morning, huh? Like, I thought we were all friends here. I don't have my hand on the weapon. Why do you have yours?
He goes, I need to speak with all of you.
We're coming. He
gestures towards the back room that the innkeeper would normally be preparing food in. I guess the kitchen. That's what that area would be called. So he gestures towards the kitchen and escorts you all.
Jeremy, that's not very sanitary.
He said it's going to get a lot less sanitary, and he kind of shuffles you all in.
I think this is for employees only, and
definitely not Goliath-sized.
Del, you do have to duck through the door, but you guys go in there, and he goes, so you don't know. You don't know that Father Lucian was found dead.
What?
And you were the last people seen with him. And I know you were told not to go to Watcher House, and you still did. Don't what did she tell you to do? And puts him up. How did he die? He goes, look. He kept his cool pretty well when you grabbed him. He goes, look, and he gestures over to the table, and on the table you see a dead Father Lucian lying there in the kitchen. Yeah, I didn't think that through. It's not sanitary. Sorry. Didn't think you guys would be calling me out OSHA style here.
Gaius is going to immediately walk up to Lucian's body and see if he can see what happened to him.
Tell me exactly what you're doing, and I'll tell you what I need you to roll.
I'm looking to see if it's immediately apparent how he died, if he has any wounds, or if he looks like he's got broken bones or anything like that. Just like,
yeah,
like,
go ahead and I'll take an investigation check from Gaius.
Cool.
Del, are you putting Jeremy down, or are you still keeping him up?
No, I'm putting him down, but Del...
Okay, cool. As you put him down, he does that tough guy thing where, like, you put him down, he tries to push you, but you don't really go anywhere. You maybe take, like, a quarter step back, if that, so...
Yeah, I weigh, like, 400 pounds, and I'm in
four. Damn,
yeah.
I got a four. I probably don't know how this guy died.
You can tell that he is dead. no, you can tell that he's dead and that an instrument was used to kill him, but it's unclear what.
Gaius, what do you see?
He was beaten.
Jeremy tries to take the conversation back. He goes, I asked you a question. What did Fiona tell you to do to him?
Nothing. She said to overturn the government that's already in place. I'm telling you what she told us. We came back after the house, and we went to bed.
You think that it's a coincidence that you went to her house, and then now the father who you visited later just winds up dead? That seems far too coincidental for me.
Jeremy, why did I want
to oh, one at a time, sorry.
No. No, okay. No, that's how we talked. You need to answer all of it.
Take a breath. I mean, the same could technically be said about you being the head of the guard of this town. That's suspicious. There's a lot of ways you can spin a coincidence here, and you know me just as well as I know you that we didn't do this. This wasn't us. We weren't put up to anything by the lady of the Watcher House. We went and everything was fine when we left. This is the first we have heard of his demise.
Did she give you any objects? Did she take anything from you? I just need more information. There has to be some connection here.
She took a beautiful day from us. It was pretty nice outside and not that anymore, but I still
this is not a joke.
You know that I joke when I'm nervous. Or did you forget?
He doesn't answer. He looks long.
Enough.
Why would we want Father Lucian dead? Answer me that. He's the only one in this town who can protect Irina. Why would I want him dead? Why would I want him dead?
He has no answer for you. It's at that time that you hear a man who kind of walks two steps and you hear a thud. Pull through the door. It's Rick Tavo. He has his cane. Every time he takes a step, he kind of slams his cane down as he walks across the wooden floor. And he says, yeah, you know the walls here are very thin. We can hear everything you're talking about out there.
Sorry, Rick Tavo?
You guys, he's the guy drinking in the corner. You guys, again, not alcohol, just kind of chilling in the corner. And you guys met him a couple nights ago. He wasn't a Superman character or anything, but he kind of mentions.
Do you like the sunglasses and like the velvet coat and everything?
That's him. So he comes in. He goes, and he's kind of got this cool, calm demeanor and kind of walks in and takes over the room. Y'all are kind of looking at him, and he leans over. He adjusts his glasses, lifts the father's arm, puts it back down, and goes, curious.
What?
Sets his cane down, sets his book down, takes his glasses off, and hands them to you, Del.
Del takes them.
He takes his hand and he jams it in the wound of the father, almost mutilating his body. And he's in there and he's just digging around. It's almost uncomfortable to watch. And he pulls out his hand. He says, you missed something. And he drops a piece of obsidian on the ground. Jeremy goes, the Vistani? But why? I don't understand. Rick Tavo says, I'm going back to my room now. Collects his book, collects his cane, grabs his glasses from you, and his puts them on. His glasses are all a little bit mangled. When you
body thing, they'll kind of
cringe a little. He goes to put them on. They're a little crooked. He goes,
how did you know to look in there?
Folds it up, puts it in, and starts to kind of walk away. He doesn't really give you an answer here.
They'll grab.
He goes, careful, Goliath.
Careful yourself. Answer the question.
I cast a mage hand and shut the door in front of him so he can't leave.
He spins around and says, no one even tried looking in the wound. There's plenty you can find. Vistani weapons were used to kill the father. This town is not safe anymore. I am taking my farewell. Unless you would like to stop me.
How did you know there would be something in there?
I didn't. He flicks off guts and blood off his hand.
Is this a common pastime of yours?
I wouldn't say common.
Gaius is just looking more and more dejected, like sitting there listening to everybody.
The mage hand floats over to Gaius and pats him on the back.
He takes his leave, calmly opens the door, and struts straight out of the inn.
So I look at Jeremy and go, any other questions?
I don't look at the body. I'm curious about the wound.
Aspion gets all up in them guts. sorry, what was your question?
I look at Jeremy and go, so any other questions? Or are we free to go?
Yeah. You can go.
Okay, because I have to go figure out how I'm going to keep Irina safe. I just shrugged past him out the door.
We'll burn him. I would like to be present.
I think we need to be discreet.
I would like to be present.
I ask for your discretion. That is all. He takes a blanket and places it over the father. Kind of scoops his body up, some blood and whatnot kind of spill out just a little bit. He's not a living body, so it's nothing's pumping, so it's not too bad for drippage. He leans out the door and says, leave us. And the two guards quickly walk out. He says, we'll go out the back door and out of the city gates.
Good.
Okay. Now I know Dell's going. How's the party splitting up? Because we got party members going different places here.
Guys is going to follow Dell.
I'm going with Dell and Jeremy.
Okay.
Where's Irina?
She's just in the other room. She was with where the guards were and where Rick Tavo was before he went in with you guys. It's just kind of two different rooms there.
Before we split up, while Dell and Jeremy are talking, can I ritual cast detect magic?
Yeah, absolutely.
Any magical essence coming from the body or from Jeremy or from anything?
There are no magical essence or anything coming from the body or Jeremy.
Okay.
So I go back into the room with Irina. And did the guards leave yet? Yeah, definitely. So I'm going to look at her and be like, hey, I don't mean to step on toes. I don't mean to intrude on your privacy. That's why I didn't question you this morning, but times have changed. How much of that did you just hear?
She goes, yeah, those walls were really thin. We honestly could hear just about everything you were saying. I think even maybe the guards know, and they were talking.
That's fine. The thing is, as you know, the father's dead. Last night during the Watcher House, we heard a rumor that you are going to be married off. Is this true? Like I said, I'm not trying to step on toes or anything, and I know this is coming to a shock, but I'm trying to keep you safe here.
My business is my own.
I know, and I fully respect that. As I said, if times didn't change and the father was still alive, I would have kept on keeping on with our normal lives and not saying a single word. But I need to try and figure out another place because we do not have the hallowed grounds on this church anymore. And if you go ahead and you marry someone, that is a red flag, a flare up into the sky of, hey, I'm right here. You understand that, right?
I understand everything you're telling me, Ajira, okay? This, you don't think that I have a lot on my mind, a lot to think about, okay? This is an insane situation that I find myself in. I'm still figuring it out. Yes, I was propositioned. I haven't told anyone a decision. Can I take some time? Can I think about some things?
I'm not saying that you're going to marry him. I'm not. I never said that. I just wanted to know if it was true.
You come at me. You didn't even give me time to think it out and maybe come to you. You just come at me. You hear
again,
these rumors.
Again, times changed and people are dead. I'm not saying it's your fault. I just need to know if this was even something I need to think of and if our group needs to be on a heightened alert to keep you safe.
How is knowing that information going to keep me safe?
Real simple. Do we have to worry and have to plan for, oh shit, now she's being married off and...
Do you think this marriage is going to happen tomorrow, Ajira?
Probably at the festival, probably. Lighten the mood. So when is this supposed to happen then? If it does happen. I'm not saying it does.
She's frustrated with you and she walks away.
That's fine.
I lean over to Gaius. These walls are thin. Sounds like trouble in paradise, right?
You guys hear all of that.
I'm gonna breathe in like somewhat angrily and then on the breath out, I can't help but like chuckle a little bit because that was funny.
You hear Joe chuckle too.
That is funny then, dude. So a couple things. You guys found Vistani. Yeah, you guys found remnants of Vistani weapons in the father. You guys know that Aragal's camp, who you actually helped and assisted at one point, is just up the road from where you guys are. I'll go back to that main map here. Pull that up. Town of Alaki. So it's just right over here, and it's kind of a little hard to see on the side, but it's just off that beaten path in that open area.
Cool.
So you guys take the body out. Jeremy scoops him up, holds him maybe a little closer than you would see somebody who's like unfamiliar or maybe just like holding a corpse. Like he holds them almost like a friend, like the way you would hold someone that you're close with. And he's still got the blanket or whatever it may be, the drape over him. And Irwin, the innkeeper, opens the back door, allows him to walk out. If you guys are all going with him, then you guys are going to head up north. Towards the exit up there, kind of towards where Lake Zarovich was. Go ahead.
Before I can carry him if you would like.
I wouldn't.
He was close to you.
He was. He swallows kind of deeply. You can almost like hear the gulp. Like he's choking something back a little. As a reminder as well for the group, the father could never leave the church. As a reminder, when you guys went to the church, it was almost like he was pretend there. And then he kind of snuck out. And then he would go and assist the Vistani. There's no way for him to get out of the walls unless he had help, which was to be said that Jeremy was helping him get in and out of the walls.
Did we know Jeremy was helping him get in and out, or is that?
Yes. Yeah, no, that was expressed at the time. Yeah.
I knew him a very short time, but I believed him to be a good man and a special soul.
He helped people that killed him. I helped him help people that killed him. And you hear his voice kind of raise in that moment. He's mad. And you guys go through a part of the gate that isn't really like an exit part of the gate, but that Jeremy clearly knows, and he fits himself through kind of gently pulls the father through. It's going to be like, let's say right around there. And he says, I need you to tell no one about this. He lays the father down gently and starts collecting sticks, you know, things like that, making a nice little pyre.
Dill uses his hand axe to maybe cut stuff up. And
cool.
Guys, he's going to sort of chill around here and just look off stoically while these two do this.
Zav, go ahead and give me an insight check.
Okay.
Oh no, y'all are not rolling great tonight. You know, Jeremy's
too.
Yeah, you know, Jeremy is upset and just doesn't feel right to you, and you feel bad in the moment, but you don't know what to say and you don't know what to do. So
I always thought that communicating our emotions is the hardest part of our relationship.
Do you say that?
No.
Oh, so
out loud, unwittingly.
Just yeah, out of nowhere, just no context.
Jeremy, like, what? Everybody would be like, what? Irina from the tavern would be like, what?
It's the Scrubs voiceover. I'm just doing JD monologues out loud.
There you go.
The walls are thin, so everybody hears.
It turns out in the end, we were all ashamed of our emotions.
I didn't even mention, I'm going to rewind just a little bit just because I forgot some environmental stuff. It's pouring rain outside. It's got a solid downpour on you guys, but that's not stopping the town. They're still putting up decorations and tents and all of this. People are splashing around in the mud, but nobody's really looking up. So it does make it a little easier to kind of get out of the town in a stealthy fashion. Not that you guys need to be super stealthy. There's nothing weird about the captain, you know, carrying a dead body out of town necessarily. So nobody's really looking your way. But on top of all of that, they're also setting up for a parade. Because you can kind of hear the murmurings that people keep talking about this parade. So nobody's really paying you any mind. So you're able to get out of the walls. So we'll kind of cut to, I'll say it takes you guys an hour to kind of get sticks and things like that together. Go ahead.
Real quick, while they're getting sticks together, I go up to guys and go, you got a sec?
Sure.
Saw you were a little down in when they were, what's the right word? Rummaging through the... Yeah. Are we sure that the Vistani even did this? Or are we being led on?
That thought had crossed my mind.
So I know sleight of hand, and I didn't see his hand before he stuck it on in there.
To be honest, I'm not suspicious of the old man. However, I don't put past the possibility that whoever killed the father was the one trying to frame Vistani people. How hard would it be to find one of their weapons and then kill some defenseless old man with it?
Mike, well, I'm not hearing what they're saying. Would I have any insight based on when I went and inspected the wound after the fact?
Did you roll in investigation?
No, I need to look at it.
No, you just kind of saw what everybody else saw, so.
To be honest, I think it's more likely than not that one Vistani actually did kill him. Strahd probably has at least one ally or lackey or whatever you want to call it in the Vistani who's willing to kill someone for him. And if we were to succeed in getting those bones back and hollowing out that ground, that might have been something that put a hindrance in his plan. One of the few things that could have.
Do you know if we can still hollow those grounds, even with the father gone?
I don't. I imagine Del would be our best bet. If someone could do it, it would be him. If someone would know, it would probably be him.
I'll see if I can talk to him when he's in a easier state, maybe later tonight.
If one of the Vistani did come and kill the priest, it's because us getting those bones would have been at least enough of a detriment to Strahd to the point where he was acting on it, which is rare.
Don't want to be chasing a blind goose.
I absolutely adore the little Mattisms that land in our episodes. Just fantastic. Oh my god.
Blind geese are the worst.
So good, dude. So good.
There's some place that Irene might be safe, even if the bones don't work, but I feel like that should be our best bet, our first try.
So as you guys are making this pyre, the rain's coming down pretty good, so how else would you burn it? Jeremy pulls out this large kind of flask on his side, and you hear the cork pop. And he goes and he pours it over Father Lucian's body that's sitting on this this little pile of sticks that you guys have made.
And after Jeremy pours that and steps back, I cast Firebolt to light the body on fire.
He puts his arm around your shoulders, Ev. Del, did you want to say a few words?
I think Del will just say like a basic prayer for the dead. Tom.
That's fine. Jeremy will say he was a good man who wanted to make life better for many people. It will be a hard loss, but Velaki will prevail. You hear almost a waver in his voice in that last part, because maybe he doesn't believe it. You all watch the father burn, rain's coming down, but you can smell the flesh burning. When the fire eventually goes out and you're left with virtually nothing and the rain's put it out and there's just a lot of smoke at this point, Jeremy, without any words, just kind of turns away from the party and starts heading back to the exit that he had left from. Going back inside the walls, excuse me.
As he leaves, I'm going to turn to Del. Del, without the priest, is there any way we can hollow the ground if we get those bones? So it's not as simple as just getting the bones and then throwing them into a hole in the ground.
Correct.
Actually, Mike, would I know anything about this? Being... what do you want?
Yep. Religion. Oh, shit. I guess I could take Arcana, but probably religion's better if you have that.
They're both the same to me.
Four. Y'all.
I guess they'll roll religion
too. Sure, yeah, go ahead and roll me in a religion.
Five?
Del, you know that once, let's say, an item has been cursed, it's cursed. Once an item has been consecrated, it's consecrated. Generally, what you need to do is you need to match this consecrated object that you have, in this case, the bones, back on its pedestal. So you don't necessarily need a ritual to do so. You just need to return it to its origins, like where it needs to be.
I mean, you know my opinion about it. Just, I know who, you know who I suspect, but I think we might need to watch out for him. There's still the chance that he could be a magic user of some kind.
Mike, yep. Outside of this, Father Lucian had mentioned having the daughter, Irina, having her run for mayor. I think Dell and him had talked about that a little bit at the end. Is that right? Was everyone part of that? Who else was part of that conversation? And did
Dell, Gaius, and Zaf, you three.
Okay.
And the father.
Dell turns to Gaius then. It's suspicious that after he suggests a third candidate, that he dies.
I thought that too. In my mind, two things are sort of battling for being most likely. One is that he could have brought the town together and that's why he was killed. The other one is that him being able to help us in some way was enough of a hindrance for Strahd. Sounds like it's still possible to hollow the ground, but if he knew that we were going to get the bones back, he would kill him.
Mike, can I make Dell's gut is telling him that it's not Strahd behind this. But let me know if there's a check I should make for that.
No, I think Dell's able to feel that. Like, that's fine if he wants to feel that way. Mm-hmm.
Dell, responds to Gaius then. My instinct is Strahd's not behind this. There are politics at play here. This is a city in turmoil.
I think
the plays a part that we do not know yet.
You think it's possible Lady Walkerhouse would have had the old man killed and just had a Vistani weapon used to do it, or to frame someone outside the town?
I place no one above suspicion, other than us.
Means a lot. Yeah. Don't know where to go from here.
While they're talking, I'm going to run to catch up to Jeremy. Jeremy, do you have a minute?
Yeah. Kind of scratches the back of his head. What's going on?
I just wanted to say I'm sorry for your loss. I get the sense that the father was very close to you, and losing someone you care about is not something that. It's an easy thing to go through.
He sighs again. Zev, you're going to learn there's not many good people in this land, but he was one of them.
Well, if you were aligned with him, that says a lot about your character as well.
He looks down and just proceeds to walk, but just a little slower than he was walking before. Everyone's in deep thought this session. Looks back at you and says, everything I told you. I met up with some adventurers. We tried to take down Strahd. It didn't work. I crawled my nearly lifeless body back to Valaki. The Baron took me in, opened the gates for me and me alone, saved my life. I owe him everything. But the father was the one that healed me. He was the one that helped me. I owe him much, and I'll never be able to repay the debt, excuse me.
Zaf nods. Are you bound to the Baron?
I guess you could say by bond, by trust, by loyalty, by honor. What are you getting at, Zaf?
I want to make sure that things have changed in the last, for me, couple weeks. For you,
creatures.
I know our fight had been about me not telling you everything and not being upfront and honest. So that's what I'm going to do here. I'm going to be upfront and honest. I feel like I don't recognize parts of you anymore. I see Jeremy. I see the man that I fell for. But there's something there that isn't the man that went into the cave that day.
It's been a long time, Zav. There are parts of me that are missing. There are parts of me I will never get back. This land has a way of taking it from you.
I just hope they didn't take all the important parts.
He kind of whispers and he says, yeah, me too.
I kind of turn to look to see if the rest of the party is catching up.
Yeah, I think they, at this point, you guys can tell me, are you guys kind of walking with towards the group or towards Jeremy and Zev?
Yeah, me and Del would just be walking and like brainstorming shit about like the dead dude. That's it.
Okay.
Trying to give them their space, but yeah, walking their way.
So you guys go back into the town. At this point, the festival starts. You know, you see kind of more going on. You see this like really unsettling parade. At this point, the rain has lightened up just a little bit. While people sound happy, like you would hear cheering at a parade, there's also like these underlying moans of like almost like pain or misery that you hear. And even though their faces are smiling, their eyes are almost telling a different story. In Valaki, remember that almost everybody has to be happy all the time. Like you just got to put the smile on your face. That's the law. That's the Baron's law. As you see coming down this parade, you see Vargas riding a clean-looking horse, and he's preaching. In my safe mountain town, Valaki, we reject the Dark Prince. By the light of the blazing sun, all will be well. All will be well. And you can hear him almost like a mantra repeating this. He's showing off almost an arrogant smile on his like gray face with his like sickly yellow eyes. He says, "Join me tonight."
A bad guy.
"Join me tonight to light the ceremonial torch that will keep the devil at bay." And then you hear some like cheers and you know, you hear him go by. Jeremy says, "I'm needed." And he kind of follows suits, like just right behind the Baron, almost like he never missed a beat. And he's just a part of this parade now. Same thing, like he at no point really ever took his hand off his sword, just kind of in that defensive stance where he's clearly putting up a barrier of some sort as he walks behind the Baron and leaves the group. What are we doing?
Is there like a food cart or anything?
Yeah, I'll say there's a little food cart with a small seating area that's covered with an awning. You guys, if you are interested, you guys can sit down and eat for a minute and have a talk.
I'm gonna first thing before anything, just anybody says anything, it was like, ask me on, have you like come down from killing that giant water frog or whatever it was, or was that just like normal for you?
It's a fucking Tuesday, bro.
Too bad we're on Wednesday. No shit.
Damn, so it is just normal for you, fucking legend.
We need to decide what we're going to do.
I think the church should be our main priority.
I agree with that.
An election coming up shortly. We've been asked to put our support behind the lady. We've been asked, although not explicitly, to place our support behind the Baron. And I have been told that it would be possible to place Irina in the running. I believe we need to make a choice.
I don't think we need to make a choice at all. We don't need to get involved with the politics here.
That's a choice.
That's fair. Fair enough.
In front of a voting population paints a target on her back.
I agree with Zev.
Yes.
Good. Then do we back the lady or do we let her stand?
If the lady fails, we will never get to the church. If we back the lady, we will all end up in chains or worse.
If she fails.
But to an earlier point, is it our place to get involved in the politics of this town?
If it means saving everyone in this town from having their skin peeled from the top of their head down to their toes while they're still alive, the children and the women as well, and then hung up in front of everyone to see, then yeah, I think we could.
But you promised you weren't going to do that, Gaius.
Gaius, is there a date that I don't know about yet, or where did that come from?
The Baron has been torturing people. We know.
You know, they don't want us to say Strahd's name here.
We came in, a woman was to be raped. No one would have stopped her, stopped that man if we hadn't been there.
I fully agree with you, and it does need to stop. I just don't know, especially if this festival happens all the time, if this is the right festival to reveal.
I mean, probably not. Thing is, the leadership of this town is terrible. Realistically, our chances aren't any worse with the lady.
Well, confirm, and I know you guys heard, she has been offered the hand. If she accepts,
then Strahd
could happen.
Be doing all of the things that I mentioned before to all of us.
I understand that, but she would still be safe, and she could change this town's morale around. If we can finish the church.
Potentially. I've never seen Strahd try to walk onto a church before.
You can't. If it's hallowed grounds, he cannot walk on it.
You ever seen him try?
We're getting ahead of ourselves. We need to, let's one problem at a time.
We figure out today.
I agree. The church is a priority. But it's a priority. What are your thoughts?
I don't think it's our place to tell someone what to do. We cannot predict the future. We don't know what will happen in this town if she does pursue this marriage, or what will happen if she doesn't. We can only encounter with what actually happens.
And for the mayor? Should we do nothing? Allow the evil to continue? Or do we do something and potentially allow a greater evil to take hand? I do not know.
Yeah, I would say it's course.
I believe Irina would be the best leader of this town, but I agree that it would place her in mortal danger. I believe the priest was killed for that exact reason.
Have I told any of these guys about the necklace that Irina is currently wearing?
No, you have not. You've kept that to yourself.
Okay. I'm going to reveal it now then and be, you guys, there's not a target on her back at the moment. I was able to acquire a necklace that makes it so she cannot be scryed upon. That is the necklace she is currently wearing. She cannot be found by magical means. Oh, I thought it was Cry, but okay. But yeah, I can't be found by magical means. Included in that for sure. But okay. I just took it as crying. So as long as she's staying quiet, she won't be found. And he can't track her. So it might behoove us to let today happen as today's going to happen without any of our intervention. Yes, there's an evil afoot, and I get that. And yes, this mayor is horrible. let's hollow the grounds and then make her a mayor.
Hollow the grounds and let her stay in the church or something.
As a mayor.
But Jira, even before all of the pomp and circumstance of this parade and the glorification of this baron's position, we knew it's not uncommon to know of the mayor of a town. So unless there's a figurehead that takes her place in all manners of being a mayor, we're still, like, even with a necklace on that hides her from Strahd, we're still painting a target on her back for anybody that lives in Vallaki. We,
of course.
But if we make her mayor, that will make her.
Yeah, but if she has the hallowed grounds in place, none of his vampire spawn or him can touch her.
She'd be a prisoner at home.
What about if it's Annie?
I'm not convinced that Strahd has solely undead as his minions.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, we know for a fact.
I mean, we don't need to make her a mayor either. It just sounded like she was the best candidate for the job.
She unequivocally is. But that doesn't make her the person that would be best for the job. She is the most qualified and would be the most level-headed ruler, but would not be the best fit because of her specific situation.
Then the first part of my plan is we let this run its course as is without our intervention. If we let Fiona go and we protect her and she doesn't get the majority vote and overthrow, all of us will be locked up. There will be no help for Irina. I think it behooves us to be on the side of no one.
I mean, if the Baron gets deposed, he knows who Irene is.
If we choose the Baron, we will have an enemy in the Lady.
Maybe
I'll give you guys one more minute to roleplay before we move on.
I feel like time is ticking.
Perhaps we take it.
I mean,
first question being, do we take an action today at all, or do we remain silent?
I vote no. Silence.
Very silent.
Espeon? Silent.
Zev?
Despite it not mattering what my opinion is, I also would say silence.
Good on you, Zev.
At this point, the majority has it.
I would vote the other way, but I will respect the wisdom of the vote. We do nothing. We allow the Baron to continue his rule.
That means we'll likely be needed for something else pretty soon here.
Just real quick. We could also quietly and quickly go tell her today is not the day to be sponsored by the town. Tomorrow, or the next day, or the next day after that.
It's a good idea, Jira. She seems to like you the best. Go do it.
She hates me.
What?
I think that's all in your head, Jira.
I will speak.
You just put on a brave smile. You're good to go.
I'll do it.
Do you want me to go do it? I'll go tell her. I don't give a shit what she thinks.
No. I am comfortable speaking to her on this topic.
Okay. Now we can stop.
Okay. Cool. All right. So let's take some actions here. What are we doing? Where are we going?
I'm buying some food and going to try and find Irina.
So you guys head to the last place that you knew Irina was at, which was the tavern. You get in there. Last time you saw her, she was heading up to her room. You guys open the door. All of her belongings are gone. She's taken them and left. So you're not entirely sure where she's at.
I think we probably split up, though, because Del's going to go talk to the lady.
Okay. So that one was pretty quick because Irina's just not there. Del, let's cut over to you. You're going to go talk to the lady.
In the event of a split up, Gaius would follow Del because I don't want him to die.
Yep.
What if we just stride on Irina?
Okay, so we're going to cut over to Dell and whoever's with him. We're going to the Lady Watcher house. So what are we doing?
We're going to the Lady Watcher house.
I mean, I'm with him. I don't know who else is with him. Ajira, did you come with us?
Yeah, who's all with him, I guess? That's the question.
Yeah, I will with Dell.
I'll stay back with Ajira.
Okay. So you three then, Gaius, Dell, and Aspion, go to the Lady Watcher house. You knock on the door. A fine-dressed servant answers the door, and he says, "Good day.
We wish to speak to the lady."
"Please, of course. The Chosen Ones always have time to speak to the lady." That made no sense. He enters you, has you enter the house.
I'm the one that...
Come on, buddy.
This
is my job. Blind geese all
over. He's entering people.
Blind geese storm.
We have an episode title.
So you all enter, and you meet in the same study that you met in before. Fiona sitting there in her chair and says, "Hello, I didn't think I'd see or hear from you. How are you? Have you made maybe any further decisions? Of course, a little nervous about today."
"I have a question."
"Please."
"Did you, or does someone that works for you, murder the priest?"
"Wish I was there."
No, we did not. Go ahead and make an insight check.
Yep.
Am I allowed to do one as well?
Everybody who's there, make one, because you guys would all be looking for it.
Damn. Not good.
Aspion.
Also not good.
Dell, you get the best read, but you think she's telling the truth. She says, also, hold up, Dell, make an intelligence check. I'll remind you, Dell, that you almost instantly remember that Jeremy told you to be discreet about it and not talk about it.
Dell remembers that, but Dell did not promise to do that.
That's fair. I just wanted to remind you that it was talked about. She goes, "No, that's very unfortunate news. I can't say that I followed the church, but I can't say I had any ill will towards Father Lucian."
"I believe."
Yeah, and you do.
"I've come.
You definitely have to have ill will in order to commission the killing."
She is confused by this comment and says, "I did not kill him."
"That's a more direct answer."
Mm-hmm.
"Thank you."
High verbal IQ, this one.
I was like, Jesus.
"We've come.
Do you guys have any other questions?
To let you know that we will not be supporting you during the ceremony today. We would recommend that you choose another day."
"And what day would that be?"
"That I cannot answer.
This day has been coming for so long. You were the reason that it has to be this festival. Are you planning to stay around town for the next festival to protect me? What makes this one so inconvenient for you?" You can almost hear her voice raise. She's starting to get frustrated with the situation.
"It's not a matter of convenience."
"Then why can it not be done today?"
"My lady, if I told you that what is making it inconvenient for us is recently happened and that we can get it dealt with and you can potentially try your hand at this gambit in the future. Just there's a task that draws us to it with the most urgency. There's nothing else that we can do. And your attempt to take power politically in this town would alter that in a way that we couldn't overcome."
"May I ask why you don't see me as a fit leader for this town?"
"I never said that.
You clearly choose not to back me."
"I said your attempt to become the leader of this town right now would put too much of a hindrance on us."
"I have waited 20 years for this."
"Could you wait another week?"
"Could the town?" "Could the rapes and the murder and the torture, could that wait a week? Could you just have somebody wait a week on that You're okay with letting these injustices go by doing nothing.
No.
Yet you do nothing.
Yes.
It's not that we're doing nothing. You don't know what we're doing, and we can't tell you because we don't want to put you in any danger.
She says, I understand with you, looking at Gaius, and she says, but your inactivity, Paladin, that is unfortunate. And she sits back in her chair. You can see this piece of paper in front of her, this like speech that's written out. She crumples it and she just throws it to the side.
I'm going to not like shoot Dell a glare, but I'm like, Gaius will not be able to help but look slightly over at Dell when she mentions his inaction, because I was talking to him about the same thing earlier. I'm going to look over and slightly look back.
Dell bows his head and says, you have my condolences. And he turns and he leaves.
Before you leave the room, she says, this changes nothing for me. I believe in you regardless. I believe you are the chosen ones, and I believe you were sent to protect me, to change this land. I stand by that prophecy, and whether you protect me tonight or not, I will still confront the town. If I die, then so be it. I died trying to make things better, and I can die saying that. But can you?
My lady, I must beg you to reconsider. If you were to raise your voice tonight without our protection, I have no doubt that the Baron will murder you.
He will. He will kill me on the spot in front of the entire town.
There are two things we're trying to protect you from, and we can't do them both at the same time. And the other one.
Explain them to me.
We don't know the nature of the threat yet.
We cannot. You believe we are the chosen ones. Trust us.
I do.
Then stay silent.
That I cannot. But I do trust you. You will make the right decision when the time comes.
Dell is very clearly agitated.
Yeah. Conflicted. She's conflicted and agitated too. You guys are giving similar looks and vibes to each other for sure. Espeon, what are you giving off as far as vibes real fast? Because you were kind of the first to side with her, and then you've kind of pulled back. Like, I'm just interested in your thoughts.
I was actually trying to say, so I was going to wait until Delagai's had left the room, because I wanted to speak to her in private.
Okay, well then we can do that, unless Dell and Gaius have anything else left to say.
Espeon, you'll probably have to ask us, otherwise we'll probably look back at you curiously.
Or well, you'll have to say, just go on for a second, I gotta go over something with her.
Dell looks at you curiously, but nods and leaves.
I'm gonna look at her and on my way out and say, be very careful, my lady, and follow Dell.
She says, Sir Espeon.
So in my mind, I was thinking, is there like a desk in between us?
Yeah, there is.
Okay. I want to put both my hands on the top of the desk in a way that's both like forceful but not intimidating.
Ooh, okay.
Lady. My lady. Lady. Sir Espeon. If you honestly believe that what you're doing is for the best for the town, I implore you to do it without us. Sometimes great sacrifices are needed, and they're not always. Sometimes we have to pay the price for the sacrifice, for the benefit of everyone else. Shut up, Mike.
Sorry, the stumble was kind of funny, man. Sorry.
There's things that this lady.
I'm gonna log off. You guys are.
I'm enjoying this. You're good.
So great. So she says, She says, I understand. And if you are unable to come to my aid or refuse to come to my aid, then I will die a martyr. Hopefully it will awaken the town. It will show them that there might be a better way. But I think I might have that way figured out already.
I would also implore you to not hold out hope for some group of chosen ones.
You believe not in prophecies?
I don't disbelieve in prophecies.
How about fate?
No.
I respect...
If we're just part of a story, then what's the point?
I respect your counsel. I believe everything happens for a reason. And I will be interested to see how your party handles my death.
I wish you well.
Aspion, I would like to give you something before you leave.
What's that?
She reaches in and she opens a drawer. She pulls out a fine-looking dagger. It's wrapped in a cloth, and she kind of unfolds it, presents it to you, pulls it out, hands it to you in the way that you would hand somebody a knife by the hilt first, and says, this won't do me any good, and I can't imagine my children would ever need something like this. It might serve you better than it serves me in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your honesty and that you did attempt to stand up for me at the beginning. Be careful.
After my outdoor, I remember the note and drop the dagger and continue walking to catch up with.
Oh, you do it in front of her?
No, after I walk out the door.
Oh, outside of the house or out of the, just the study?
Out of the house, yes.
Okay, out of the house, and you just drop the dagger. Okay. Cool. All right. What are we doing next, guys?
Look at Dell and say we may have no choice but to this place.
Yeah. And let me know if you guys are like, I don't know which direction to go in or what to do right now. So please let me know.
I think we'll go back to the hotel.
Okay.
The inn.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's where we thought they went.
Yeah. So you guys all meet up back at the inn.
And I told him, Ajira, we've fought about this so many times before, but they... Oh, hey, guys.
Well,
since the walls are thin, wouldn't we be able to hear what happened before this?
No, he actually stopped right before you guys even, like, approached the area. It was weird. Like, he just stopped and thought.
He heard you guys from one side of the wall. You heard him from the other.
He actually said that to the door, so it was weird.
I've already done that like 5 times.
Yeah.
If you guys want me to fast forward time, we could just get straight to the festival if you guys want to do that.
I think.
Oh, okay. I'll let you guys talk it through then.
We spoke to the lady.
Hello. Hold off.
She will not. Damn
it. Speak. I was afraid of that.
For her and potentially for us either.
I apologize for this. I wish to respect the wishes of the group. But if she stands, I will stand with her.
So will I.
I will not ask any of you to.
This changed so quickly. She doesn't even know. What's up?
How long until the festival at the night? Like, how long do we have?
30 minutes?
Hour. Okay.
Cool. Is that cool? Okay. Yeah. Night's approaching. You guys have done a lot today, burying a body and leaving town and coming back and all that, so.
I cannot let her be murdered by the bear.
I understand that. And I respect that, actually. I would too if Irina's life wasn't in danger at this moment. And I would gladly stand with you if that was the case. Surely, I cannot do that.
This may be the best bet for Irina, Ajira. Again, if the Baron keeps power, if he loses it right now, that would eliminate any chance of him making her identity known through some political marriage.
I understand that, and I fully understand that, but unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to help her if I'm locked in chains.
For treason. At stake, I think I'm with Dell and Gaius on this. As long as we just don't get locked up in chains. If that's the only thing stopping us, then let's just not get locked up in chains. I think that's a pretty simple solution.
That might mean that we have to go against whatever his name is, Jeremy. You understand that, right? Because he's going to be the first one in front of us trying to lock us up in chains.
I understand that. And Del, can I talk to you for a minute? You asked earlier if it came to it, could I fight Jeremy? I talked to him after we paid our respects to the father, and that isn't the same Jeremy. I know bits and pieces of that man, but I don't know who that man is anymore. This place has changed him. He's gone through quite a bit. Understandably, that has a major impact on somebody, but I feel like I don't know him anymore, and I don't know what he's capable of. The look he had when he came into the tavern to summon us, to talk to us, his entire demeanor while threatening us and accusing us of killing the father. That's not a side of Jeremy I've ever seen before. I don't know who that man is. So to answer your earlier question more definitively, I believe I could, if it came to it, take up arms against him, because he is no longer the man that I saw go into a cave a few weeks ago, a man that I was pledged to. Like he's remnants of that, and that's worth saving, but not at the expense of the innocent people around me.
That's a strong answer, and I respect it very much. Thank you.
And Zav kind of nods, and that took a lot out of him, so he's kind of quiet now.
Yeah.
Espeon, where do you stand?
I do not believe we should assist.
Ask you to.
Hey, Espeon, a lot of times past, you've seen the Lady Watcher House, you've received the dagger, you've left it, most of the times past, you keep thinking about this note. I want you to go ahead and roll an investigation check for me one more time.
Okay.
I'll give you advantage, actually, even though that might have done it.
You better fucking pass. Double
advantage. Well, dude, that's a nerd, man.
That's unreal.
The worst in Strahd.
Mike, just lower the DC.
Yeah, Mike, rule of cool.
Shit. So you look at this, and the handwriting looks familiar. And you've continued to think about it at this point. Espeon, it's in this moment right here, as you guys are talking in this tavern, it hits you. You know that handwriting. You saw it in a diary that you pulled out of a monster from a lake. That's Strahd's handwriting.
What did this note say?
Well, you guys don't know.
There was a diary?
Well, shit.
So you have this like epiphany in the middle of this.
I imagine that's kind of like apparent on my face.
And So what this means to you, I would imagine, is you guys thought you were almost like incognito, like that you were here and maybe all this stuff that was going on didn't involve Strahd.
Yeah.
You're found out. He knows where you slept. He put that note there.
God.
What?
Show you.
What?
And I pull out the note and lay it on the table.
Is it
to us?
It says,
says, trust no one.
So we look at this note. Do we get the idea that it was Strahd's handwriting?
You don't get it. Like, he has to explain it to you.
Yeah. I was trying to go for dramatic effect, not... So this
how long note, have you had this?
From the one day, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's like last night. So not even a day.
Just about a day. This is from Strahd. He left it for me in my bed.
And?
What?
He entered the town?
Either he did or someone did all his bet on his behalf.
He has Irina.
This is troubling news. He has Irina?
Irina's stuff is gone. Where she was sleeping. Why would he have taken? Go check his room. Because we were all around. He was waiting for us to leave. I mean, you can go check. Her stuff is gone. Everything's gone. He knows exactly. No. You guys heard the last thing she said to us. Well, to me. To you guys.
To provide a dead body in need of a funeral pyre.
So before we spiral too much out of control here, I'm going to say I'll call them explosions. I'm going to say explosions, but like firework explosions, like a pew, pew, kind of thing goes off.
Yeah, we know what fireworks are.
Like. Right. I did the sound effect just for Tom because he was a little unclear. And the...
For the blind geese, they need...
It's been killing blind geese. Blind geese deterrent.
They can't get out of the way. They don't see it coming.
It's but not even part of the festival.
People doing target practice. But the torch lighting ceremony has started. You guys hear the crowd all start to conglomerate. You guys you're in the town square. You're just right off of it in this inn, and you hear the town starting to kind of form in this area. But this lighting ceremony has started. You walk out. And you see Vargas's face illuminated by this firelight torch. His smile is almost hurting him. Like you get that vibe from it. Like it's so large, it's almost painful. The crowd has some distance from the stage. Like you would think that everybody would be crowded around right next to this little stage area, the staging area. But no, they've got some distance from it. You also see Irina standing next to him, wearing a shawl over her head and hands behind her back. Not cuffed or anything, just, you know, leisurely, just standing there. Welcome to the Festival of the Blazing Sun. During this event, we will repel the devil by sending a clear message from Valaki. He's shaking his hand and finger now. Jeremy, find me a suitable candidate for the ceremony. And that is where we will end the session tonight.